I can't get these memories out of my mind, and some kind of madness has started to evolve.
After another dose of Liverpool madness, it's the Day Trippers. Mad and maddening, batshit mental and infuriating. Welcome to Brendan Rodgers Liverpool 2.0. Post Suarez, loaded with new talent and yet without much of a clue what to do with that roundy yoke they all chase about. We, like you, were reduced to gibbering husks by the events in London on Sunday, but as we were doing a live gig, we weren't drinking, so you only have the normal level of tripper incoherence to deal with. Tonight, we'll take a look back at the most dramatic of wins. We'll stare incredulously, Everest style, at the upcoming fixtures against Real Madrid and Hull, and we'll discuss the topics suggested by you in Tripper's chats. Joining me in the bunker tonight are Daddy Ray Care, Ray Brady, Stonebolt crowd favourite, Dave Thomas, Alan Shearer appreciator, Paul Brennan, and Sunday hangover fear merchant, Phil Casey. Right. Review time, QPR 2, Liverpool 3. Let's start with Simon Mignolet, because basically, what the fuck? After Brendan denying that there's going to be a Spanish import very recently to Guillaume Balague there, Megs didn't seem any more comfortable. I made a lot of excellent saves, which is going to come up later on, I think, from the man on my left. But he also scared the crap out of us, did he not, Dave Thomas?
Well, he was atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. I mean, he makes one great save from Fair. That's a very good save, right? Mm. But he is like a wet wipe back there. There is no substance to him at all.
He's a wet wipe.
He's like a wet wipe.
You can't even flush him down the toilet.
Can't flush him. There's just nothing about him. He's just, oh my God, he drives me bananas. And we were watching it, actually I was with you guys and we were watching it, and this wasn't us now, our own observations, but during the match, how many times did someone randomly, or several people randomly, yeah, in the us. Pub shout, "Where's the keeper?" Right? Because every time the ball went in the 18 yard box, he was on his line.
Yeah, but 80% of those shouts were rubbish. But anyway, like, but
you know, come on.
I'm serious.
Go on. It was bandwagon shit.
I can understand 20% of them, because there was definitely 20% of the occasions when he should have been there. How he's so glued to his line, it's not funny at times. And we're talking about simple balls over the top. The top quality goalkeepers come out and sweep. You know, they come out and sweep. Whereas our defence has to backtrack 5, 10, 15 yards extra because he doesn't come out. He just doesn't come out to the edge of his box.
But your favourite goalkeeper is Neuer, right? Right. All of those shouts, "Where's the keeper?" He comes for 80% of them, not 20% of them.
Well, he would also play in midfield.
But my point is, it becomes such a thing now that it looks more obvious because you're looking for him all the time and he's never coming. My thing, I mean, and I was saying it to you guys before the pod, is that he makes a save after a defensive mistake and he gets up and he shouts, but he doesn't shout at anyone. So he's not like telling anyone in the defence, "Here's what you've done wrong, you need to do that better this time."
What does he shout, Dave?
He just shouts, "Come on!"
Yeah.
That's it, to nobody. He's not even, you know, if he grabbed Lovren and said, "Even come on," like as in, "Come on."
So he shouldn't shout "come on" and shout "come on" at one of them.
Just shout
any of them.
To someone.
Any of them.
Shout it to someone that shows he has understood why that mistake has happened. He doesn't understand what has happened. He has no command. He has no respect. He drives me crazy.
Ray, is that too harsh?
No, not at all. I said there a couple of weeks ago that I'd fallen in love with the guy there after the West Ham performance. And he pulled out a couple of good saves. He pulled out another half-decent one from Sandro as well. There was the particular incident there just when Glenn Johnson lifted your man out of it where he came for a ball that, and just, you know, you just want the commanding goalkeeper. So they're going to come and punch. He doesn't have to do the English thing and catch it, but a good solid punch on it. And he was nowhere to be. He's left in no man's land, flapping in the wind, and nearly cost us a goal. But just the lack of confidence is spreading all over the back four from having a shit goalkeeper, basically.
It's that fair, Paul, that it's emanating from the furthest point back.
I don't think so. I just think loads of our defenders are shite. Scarlett and John, like blue in the face about them. But like, I think Mignolet, I think we know now what we're going to get. Like, it's a stuff like that, crosses coming in, or, you know, balls over the top, he's not going to come for it, but he will. Like, at least his shot stopping has improved kind of recently, because there was a time where that was even gone out the window. He was doing nothing. I think at this stage we know what we're going to get, kind of heart attack stuff whenever the ball's coming towards him, but he's okay at shot stopping.
He
is, well.
That's where we're at now with Mignolet. He's okay at shot stopping.
Well, he's a good shot stopper. I'll give him good. Someone has to give him a bit of fucking praise.
Well, in fairness, yeah, we do need a bit of balance here. Phil, talk to me about those.
Oh, yeah, because I'm very balanced. Yeah.
You may have noticed how I teed you up there. Talk to me about those clipped clearances that were enthusing you and me so much.
First of all, just on him, right? Some of the saves he makes yesterday are brilliant.
There's
three brilliant saves he makes. Okay, there is, but it doesn't. And this was my point earlier on, is that just because you make a couple of brilliant saves, it doesn't necessarily offset the amount of bad things that you do as well in the game. You know what I mean? Like, it's like saying, oh, Skrtel was brilliant because he cleared two balls off the line. It's completely negating what goes on for the other 90 minutes on the pitch. Or, Enrique was brilliant because he took a picture in Dubai. It means nothing when you look at the overall 90 minutes. Like, when the ball goes back to him, I don't think there's anybody now at this stage that's a fan of the club that knows what's going to happen next. It's either going to be a clip clearance out of play or to somebody else, it's going to be, even his long kicks are these loopy things, which they're never driven. There never seems to be purpose on his distribution. Look, of all the defenders and everything yesterday, he isn't the biggest problem that was there yesterday, right? But I think, as you said, people are being drawn more and more to it because we're not seeing a consistent step up. When we played West Brom, he came was coming for every cross and he played higher in his box. It was the same the Southampton game where he played really well that day. But then in between those games, you just have a myriad of madness. It's like it goes from the saves, which are sublime, to the other stuff that's going on, which is just ridiculous. And it's our defence in microcosm, if you know what I mean. And that's why people are now starting to say, well, maybe it is the goalkeeper, because if the goalkeeper is that erratic in his level of performance within a game, you can look at the defence and say, well, this is a common theme. It's not just him who's erratic. The whole defence is completely erratic. 86 minutes yesterday, we had a clean sheet. Don't know how, but we had a clean sheet, right? 86 minutes. By the time the referee blew his whistle, we conceded two fucking goals. You know what I mean? Like, and that's just insanity.
But what is the, like, how often do you have to watch these absolutely mind-numbingly awful little chip clips out of the line to fullbacks? It's just insane. And they never do anything except cause the play to break up or slow down.
Particularly against Enrique, who I don't think has ever won a header in his life. Where's he going there? Like, I mean, Johnson...
He's been instructed to do it, because if you remember, even going back before Mignolet, when Reina was playing for us, right?
Yeah.
Rodgers even came out and said that when the teams press, so you saw yesterday with QPR, the two forwards went on to the two centre-backs so he couldn't play short, and then one of the midfielders went out and went on to Chan or Gerrard, whoever was there at that point, right? So Rodgers says when that happens, then they look to go to the next line in the actual team, which is generally to the fullbacks. Now, we've had Manquillo and we've had Moreno, and his favourite target has been Manquillo because he's 6'2" and he's won most of his headers when they go out that side. And in credit to Johnson, he won a couple of his headers as well when he went outside. But yes, going to Moreno that way or going to Enrique is madness, especially when you have, teams are also understanding that this is what he's going to do, and they're getting one of their bigger midfielders to come out when that happens to push wide to win the actual cross. You know, for Mignolet, he looks like to have gotten a stay of execution, because it doesn't look like we're going to sign Valdez at this stage, right? Now, he has from now until Christmas to up his levels. And if we aren't signing Valdez, you know, maybe Rodgers has thought to himself, do you know what, if I do sign Valdez now, I can't play him in the Champions League. If I put him in league games, this lad's confidence is going to be completely destroyed, right? And obviously, if Valdez comes in, he's going to expect to be number one when he comes in. So I'm sort of at a bit of a catch-22. If I hang off, maybe I get his confidence level back up and he starts performing, you know, as the better Simon Mignolet can, as opposed to the poorer one that seems to creep out every now and then. And, you know, maybe it's a case of, well, look, I'm going to roll the dice and hopefully I get to Christmas. And if there's no significant improvement, then I can sign somebody in the transfer window at that stage. I can look to, hopefully, a German goalkeeper.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave, let's move it forward a little bit away from Simon Mignolet and towards...
Not much forward, which is the big fucking problem.
Not much forward. And let's look at the back four. Pretty much universally awful. Although we'd have to say that Glenn Johnson was actually probably the least wretched of all of them. Would you agree with that? I think that's probably fair enough. But look, where do you even start? You've got the kamikaze lad wearing number six. You've got the daft lad wearing number three.
Daft?
He's daft.
He's gone beyond daft.
He's just...
Well, let's start with the number three, right? Because when the team sheet came out, right? Well, you were there. I was excited. I love Jose Enrique, right? But not because he can play football. I just love him, as we were talking about, generally. He's great personality. He's fucking mental. And he is simultaneously, at the very same time, sometimes our best player and our worst player on the pitch. Like, you know, he looks like the guy that could do something mad in their box and we score a goal. But he could do something mad in our box, like try a Cruyff turn where someone's pressing him and make us concede a goal. Yesterday, it's got to be the worst. I mean, he was four times worse than anything Ali Sissoko ever did for us yesterday.
Ever.
Mm. Ever. Yeah. I mean, people talk about Ali Sissoko like he had, you know, one leg. Enrique made him look like fucking Bale yesterday. Mm. He was that bad. It was unbelievable, Enrique. He was madness, absolutely madness. If Rodgers had a left back on the bench, he would have hooked him, I'm sure of it.
Well, see, they've recalled Brad Smith today.
That does not surprise me in the least.
Yeah, that's quite an indicator.
Rodgers has blind spots, right? But there's no way he's looked. He hates Enrique anyway, I think. And there's no way he's watched that game yesterday and been happy with him. He was appalling. And the thing is, sorry, just my last thing on Enrique, right? Regardless of what you think of anyone else around him, right? He is more senior than Lovren and Emre Can, right? And those are the three kind of players covering that side of the pitch. He's got to be helping him, particularly Can. I felt in the first 10, 15 minutes, I thought Can struggled a little bit. And I think you're looking for Enrique as the senior player, as the more seasoned professional, to give him a dig out. Every ball he gave Can put him in trouble. Every single ball he gave Emre Can put him in trouble. I thought Enrique was terrible, as you could probably tell him, you know. Yeah. You're like, let's
no way.
It's just making me mad now. I'm just mad.
Ray, let's talk about Glenn Johnson, because we might actually have a chance to talk about him here, where he's not the focus of all of our fury and rage. Maybe talk to me with the most controversial thing that he got seen, sorry, if he universally praised for, which is that kind of clearance stroke, kamikaze, two-footed Jackie Chan assault.
Yeah,
what did you make of that?
That was the exact opposite of everything we've criticised him over. Total lack of effort, wussing our tackles, not being interested, wanting to come off with half an injury there a while ago, and he'd done the exact opposite.
Tried to kill two men.
To try to kill people rather than let the ball go in the net. And brilliant. Yeah. You couldn't fault him for that.
Yeah.
A couple of other times he'd be slightly at fault, but that's the exact type of thing you'd want to see from a player, and I'd never fault someone for that type of effort. But
and overall, what'd you make from him on the day?
He was the best of a bad bunch. That's as much as I could say. I don't think there was anything outstanding from him. I don't think he offered too much going forward. Bad a goal, and I mean, that was nothing to that. Basically, just asking someone to play it quick because he knew their backs were torn. But I wouldn't say done anything particularly brilliant yesterday.
And positionally, how do you think he was? It was the same old story, wasn't it?
Exact same story. I mean, their goal, he dropped off when Skirtle got caught underneath it. Johnson actually takes two steps back for whatever reason. I haven't a fucking clue. Yeah. After watching it two or three times, and the ball, as Skirtle misses it, he literally just lets him have the ball.
He spots someone he knows in a cop and he wants to go and have a word with him. Because he's so deep, he's practically off the pitch at that point. Yeah.
Especially good because it was at QPR.
Oh, you know what I tell you. Well, that's what he was going, the cop.
even the initial kind of lofted ball that they put in, like him and Skirtle, it's exactly what we've come to expect from them. Like, no one takes responsibility. The ball, I think it's Armand Traore, takes the ball on his chest and does that curl on seal dribble with his head across the box. And the two of them are just standing there looking at him like
it's just ridiculous.
It's like they say to each other, look at that.
Fuck, he's all right, isn't he?
He's good, he's good, this lad. It's like in training, going, Jesus, lad.
That's impressive.
Impressive.
Look what are we wearing? Oh, shit. Well, Paul, what's going on?
You've brought us on to the centre half, so why don't you talk to us a little bit about Mr. Lover and Mr. Scarlett?
Do I have to do this? Do I have to get upset? Do I?
Yeah. Go on. Yeah, yeah. Because you've done your best there earlier on to be happy, so.
You know those sort of games where it's horrible, like the team's launching the ball at us. Our defence is. It just doesn't matter. It looks like it doesn't matter who we sign, they're not going to be able to deal with it. There's just like nobody wants any responsibility. Like Zamora, Bobby Zamora. I mean, like.
Bobby Zamora.
when you see people talk about the past few weeks, you would swear it was Drogba all over again or something. Yeah. It's Bobby fucking Zamora.
He's nailed an England call up.
Well, good luck to him.
The wanker was in the crowd.
He was there. He was happy.
He was rubbing his 87 chins.
Absolutely loving it.
Well, he left on 83, so he still thinks it was 1-0.
Yeah. What you're saying is when he's doing a number on us, and he did.
Yeah, obviously, Lovren's got loads, and he didn't deal with him at all. But it's not just him. Like if Bobby Zamora takes the ball down his chest, he's still Bobby Zamora with the ball. Like other people have to, like, he can only damage you if you let him. Like, and like nobody reacted at all whenever Zamora had the ball. They were at sea. Austin had the run of the defense. Yeah. They had runners coming forward that weren't being tracked. It was just atrocious. And then, like I said about the build up to the first goal, where the ball got lofted over, and Skirtle and Johnson do their usual, where it's like. Like Skirtle, he's huge, but because the ball's 5 yards to his right, he's like, oh, it's okay. I don't have to go and win that. Yeah. I can leave that now. And just take some responsibility. Go and monster the ball. Yeah. The same with Johnson. Like, it's just the same crap all over every single time we come up against one of these scrappy matches. Like, QPR scoring 2 goals. Like, they could have had 4 or 5
in the first half.
It's absolutely frightening stuff. Like.
Yeah. Phil, Dejan Lovren and his amazing aerial lack of ability. What has happened to him?
It's like, right, somebody has cast a spell on anyone that signs for us as a defender. It's like there's a wizard at Melbourne Gate. You cannot defend anymore.
That's what a wizard would say.
You cannot defend anymore. Just standing there stroking his beard going, no, you cannot head the ball, you cannot kick the
Why
ball.
Why can't he head the ball?
But he came, right, the reputation he comes with now, and many people say, no, he's shite, but whatever, right, I thought, you know, you can't be much, like I'm saying, you're going to be struggle to be much worse than what we have, like, you are going to struggle to be much worse. But then he comes in, for a start we're told he's a great distributor of the ball, right? He was reduced to just hoofing everything that came towards him. His passing was atrocious yesterday. He wasn't even trying to 60-yard crossfield balls. He was just hoofing everything clear, right? Mm. Then when the balls come over, lofted balls into the air, he cannot read. He can't read them. He's a centre-back that can't read the flight of the ball. I actually think, and this is mental now, I think he's played better at right centre-back than he has as a left centre-back for us.
He definitely has.
And honest to God, as I said to you earlier on when we were putting the agenda together, him and Skirtle is one of the worst centre-back combinations I have ever seen at the club. Right? And bar any of them, right? They're just absolutely atrocious together as a partnership. And the devil is in the detail. We've conceded 12 goals, and 10 of those goals have come with a Skirtle-Lovren partnership.
Yeah, so you can't really argue with that.
You can't. And 10 of the goals have come when Skirtle has been in that partnership. We conceded 2 and 3 when it was a Lovren and Sacco. Despite everyone having criticisms about Sacco and the whole lot, we were conceding less than a goal a game at Lovren and Sacco, and that includes an away trip to Spurs. So you can't say that it's not against quality opposition in terms of what's going on. So, you know, we can get here, we can start them for all the work, because by Jesus, they deserved it for that defensive performance that they put in. But when you're looking at Martin Skirtle, who, we're going back to Dave's thing about senior players, every single one of that back four, right, has been, and this is probably a bigger criticism in a way of Rodgers. He started off now with a defence there yesterday that had a senior player at right back, a senior player at left back, and another senior player at right centre back, okay? There's enough senior experienced players there to know how to hold out a game. And if they can't hold out a game, they do not deserve to wear the shirt to Liverpool. And I'll be straight with you, John Glenson wasn't the worst player in the defence. And I've criticised him here plenty of times, right? And while he wasn't great, he certainly wasn't the worst that was there. Martin Skirtle and Dejan Lovren should go and hang their heads in shame. That was absolutely outrageously disgraceful in terms of the performance they put in. And I certainly, I would definitely consider dropping both of them for the Real Madrid game. I'm just so frustrated and so annoyed at the stupidity that's going on in that back four. It's just fucking outrageous, right? And Enrique just caps it off. It's like, they may as well have put a fucking clown's nose on him at half time and put a fucking wig on his head and sent him out with fucking Krusty's shoes.
Yeah.
It was disgraceful. But it was. It's a disgrace.
Yeah,
to do that on a football pitch is an absolute disgrace.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stand up for anything. And for the way those goals went at the end, he's completely tuned out. He's completely fucking tuned out. And about three different times for the fourth goal. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And I'm fuming over the defending. Absolutely fuming. You cannot continue on this way. We're on course to concede 60 goals this season,
which is bananas,
which is fucking ridiculous. And it's like you can as they always say, you can put a pig in lipstick, but it's still a fucking pig. And that's what we have at the moment in our defence. We have a fucking pig. Yeah, it's a pig of defence.
Yes Steve. It is a pig of defence. Jesus, that was good. Yeah, I enjoyed that. Look, with that kind of a basis to the team, you're going to struggle anyway, right? But our midfield and attack, certainly our midfield, was pretty disjointed and possibly inept might be a better word for
just,
the first
just
half.
Just as I come off the back of the rant and onto what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
It was something that Dave said earlier on about Emre Can, right? He was the only one in that first half that figured out how to play Bobby Zamora, and he ended up covering for Lovren about 90% of the time because Lovren could not deal with it.
That's because Dejan was trying to read the ball in the air, but he was the wrong side of the pitch.
But I think to come onto the midfield,
to pick up
on that point, I think it's a good point. I think a lot of people...
Thanks, Dave.
A lot of people... someone needs to host
Phil.
This fucking thing.
Phil.
After the game, a lot of people saw the dropping of Gerrard back into the midfield role as a reflection on Jean. It's not a reflection on Jean for me at all.
No,
it's a reflection on how ineffective Gerrard was further forward, and Rodgers isn't going to take him off. I think I would have I would have pulled Gerrard at half time and put Coutinho on and left Jean where he was.
Yeah,
I don't think he's got 90 minutes in him, which is the thing. And actually, again, another thing I saw today was that we look better with Alan on the field. I don't agree with that. I actually thought Jean was better than Alan. You know, for the vast majority of the game.
Emre Can had a fantastic match. He was just
After 15 minutes. The first 15 minutes
to work it out. Right?
And it also took about 15 minutes for Henderson to understand how he was going to play. And as soon as they understood that, Henderson pushed on a bit. But it wasn't great the first half. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it was. The second half, he looked a lot better when he did push in a bit, because he was actually starting to play some really good balls. And there was a great link-up play between him and Henderson a couple of times that was fractionally off.
He was tidy, Phil.
I like the idea of Gerrard, Jean and Henderson as a midfield. I think where it ended up in the second half, with Gerrard deeper and the two of them in front of him, I think there's plenty of legs there, lots of physicality.
But the captain up the top of it, wherever you wanted to see him, it just didn't happen.
I was one of the ones that wanted to see it. I didn't want to see it for 90 minutes, but I did want to see it.
There was a shot in the last minute of the half, or second last minute of the half.
But I said to Phil, and I'm going to say it now, and right now I'm going to get pelters for this. He looked like Ricky Lambert, Gerrard. He looked as slow as Lambert did.
Mobility-wise.
He looked like an old man. And I said it to you, didn't I? After 20 minutes, I said he looks like an old man. And Gerrard's got loads of quality. But the fear that he doesn't have that energy, that the legs to do that number 10 role in a Rodgers system, which is what I said, I think two pods ago, it all came home to roost. You can't play him there against a team that's going to run you into the ground. You just can't. So the switch worked well. Listen, the midfield was an experiment. And I'm a big fan of Rodgers trying things. I like that. I think he should try more things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got no problem with him trying it. I think he corrected it. I think it worked much better in the second half. I actually thought from the 45th minute to the 86th minute, we were actually pretty good. And I think the midfield was a big part of that. And I think that the drop in a Gerrard, but I liked Emre Can. And I thought Henderson, at one point, I think I shouted at the screen, Henderson can't win this by himself. Which is what was happening. Like, he was basically running around trying to win everything and do everything and run everything. And Sterling got the headlines, but Henderson did more running, made more breaks, was better than Sterling for the vast majority of that game.
Yeah. Ray, that's fair to say, isn't it? The usual requisite bit of what Harry Redknapp calls running about from Jordan.
Yeah. Like I said a few weeks back, I feel sorry for his missus. The chap just never, ever, ever, ever stops.
Yeah.
You know, and in dire circumstances when shit isn't going your way and you're not playing very well offensively, you need that. And he's a shining light to the rest of them. You know, he seems to be the one that might give them the kick in the arse. You couldn't not play in the same pitch as him and not want to lift your game a small bit when you see the running and the chasing.
You'd think.
You can't imagine that wouldn't drive you on. How could you get away with being a lazy bastard when you're watching him doing what he's doing? With quality as well. Let's say he's not just a kite workhorse, that type of, you know, just someone that can run all day. Duracell battery does skill to his game as well. And deep runs as well.
So what did you think of the new man, Can?
I thought you got sort of, what shall I say, you got sucked in with defensive duties that probably I would have rather seen a bit more of him offensively. I know his job was defensive, if that makes sense. I would have liked to see him on the ball sort of and a bit more options in front of him. He was covering a hell of a lot of work. You know what I mean? Mm. He was covering other people besides just trying to do his own job.
Which probably impacted him negatively. But as the lad said, he did seem to work it out as the match went on.
Yeah. At the start, I think the pace and rustiness, of course, he's had to be in out for a few weeks. And he's never really played. That was his first start. So it's bound to happen almost that his first game back in, he's going to find his feet for a bit. And them fuckers, for some unknown reason, were right up for it yesterday.
Go ahead, Paul.
So he got in a few kind of physical battles with Sandro and with Fair. And I thought he looked really good. Like, for someone who's coming back in, like, it's something that we need more of. Because, we come up against these teams and for the past few seasons, we've been looking at the size of their midfield going, oh, Jesus Christ. It's basically Henderson against three big lads. Whereas now we've got Shan, and he looks like he kind of enjoys that aspect of it. And I thought he looked fairly vocal as well. Even in the first 15 minutes when he was struggling, he looked like he was kind of giving out to the defenders, saying, you're burying me here with the ball or whatever. Yeah. So he doesn't look shy. I think he's going to be very good.
It took him 10 minutes to work out, oh, it's this type of game you're going to kick me. All right, that's fine. Now I can play that type of game. Because I think for the first bit, he was trying to be, you know, Pirlo. And then he realised, oh no, actually, I need to be a bit of a cunt here. I need to actually kick him back and push back. And then I thought he grew into it. I thought he was very promising.
Before we look at Mr. Balotelli, what did we think of Adam Lallana's contribution, Phil?
I didn't think, again, we've mentioned it in the reverse when it comes to Coutinho. I didn't think he had a particularly good game. He's played very well for us over the last couple of games. And we were saying that they're going to have ups and downs. And it's great having the likes that we can bring Coutinho off the bench to replace him, you know, and change the gear again. And echoing what the lad said, for me, Henderson, you know, he's starting to become a bit of a hybrid player that can boss a team in a defensive midfield position, but is starting to bring running like Frank Lampard had to his game in terms of getting ahead. And, you know, I am really encouraged. When I saw him and Chan link up in the second half, you know, they seem to have an understanding. Chan seems to be very good at understanding where his runs are going to be. And I was also seeing that power. There was a couple of times I was looking and going, Jesus, yeah, you can see this now. Henderson's bursting through. Chan picks up the ball and he's able to run from his own half, get his head up and look to where he's going to play the next ball. And it's something that, you know, moves our team on again. And that's what, when we did play a bit better in the second half, and we did. Look, you know, the first half is so atrocious that it's very, that it clouds everything that went on in the match. But the second half, I remember thinking to myself after 20 minutes, right, we've actually gotten control of this game, you know what I mean? Like, we sort of learned how to, well, when I say learned how to, you know, they lost Sandro as well because they lost a bit of midfield, and Zamora wasn't able to get around as much because obviously his energy levels dipped, and they were able to handle him then at the back because he wasn't putting himself about as much. But we did play much better in the second half, and that was encouraging. And, you know, had we gone out there 1-0, we would have said, Jesus, it was great that we got in at 0-0, because that's what turned the game for us. You know, it's what happens from the 86th minute on that then changes the reflection again to what goes on. So you've got 45 minutes of utter shite at the back, and then you've got, you know, 15, it's actually 15 minutes. It's not just the 86th minute, because they started to lump balls into us, and the heads just went. But back to the point, Lallana, listen, he's going to have games when it doesn't come off. Yesterday was a game that it didn't come off from, but I don't hold that against him. He's a good squad option for us. He's a good player to come into our first 11, do something special for us. If he's not in form, you bring Coutinho in. And I know this is taking us into the real positives of what goes on. Look, we can deal with Balotelli and all at the end if we want, but, you know, looking at Sterling and Coutinho when they came on, you know, we mentioned it when we were talking before the game yesterday. They bring that quick transition back to our game, which was missing. If you think of the first half, and we were sitting a bit deep, but we were missing that quick transition. And as soon as he's on the pitch, what Lallana wasn't doing, Coutinho was. He was getting the head up and he was able to see it. And he could see that Sterling could exploit the pace of both, the lack of pace of Dunn and Colker, if he could try the through ball there. And Chan tried the same thing with the ball through. Henderson was making the run. So we were trying to get our paciest players to get a run against them. We weren't afraid to let them come on and then try ping it against them, and that's what we were really good at last season.
I'm going to go with your live editorial call there, which has completely negated all the Balotelli chat, and that was going to be brilliant and gruesome and horrible. So let's just go where you're bringing it.
That would have been
positive.
I wouldn't.
Would you? Let's just go where Phil drove it there. And talk to me about Coutinho. That, like, it's a cameo appearance, but Christ, it's a brilliant one, isn't it? I mean, that's what we want to see from that kid.
Yeah.
That pass at the end, I mean, Christ.
I thought he was great. I thought he was... He recognised that actually you can run through their midfield. You don't need to keep clipping it over it. Like, yeah. And I think that's the big thing that he did. He picked up the ball and he went, well, I can beat these guys. What the fuck are you doing? Like,
as did Sterling.
Sterling did it eventually.
Yeah.
But he wasn't doing it all game. No. I mean, I think we can... let me park Sterling for a minute because I think that there's been a lot said about him. But in terms of Coutinho, I think he came on, he looked for the ball, and he realised that it was Carl Henry. So, yeah, I can beat them. So, what the fuck... that's what I felt like he did. And then, once he took a couple of periods out of the game, he had the space open in front of him. I think he gave everyone a lift because all of a sudden, Henderson was going, if I make the run, there's someone who could find me. And Sterling went, well, if I can make the run, there's someone who could find me. And Lallana the same. And I think that Balotelli aside, all of a sudden, you know, a couple of times we had like 4 or 5 different people in the box. And that was because Coutinho moved the entire play forward. The second goal, his goal, it's a great goal. Mm. And that's exactly what we've been lacking all game, was just that little bit of composure in the 18-yard box. And it was like, no, you know, and a couple of times he was borderline, you were going to get frustrated with him. He was taking one too many touches. And then he scored that goal, and I swear to God, oh my God, I loved everyone at that moment. But I hated everyone about 2 minutes later. But no, he was really good. And I think that Rodgers... again, you know, gets a lot of criticism, but that's the right change. That was the right change at the right time. You know, we were 1-0 up when we brought Coutinho on. We should have gone further ahead. You know, we had a couple of chances to go further ahead. And because he's on the pitch, when we get the setback, it was like him and Sterling went, right, go back to what we were doing last season. Just go fast and score.
Ray, Dave alludes there to Raheem Sterling and the way that he sort of developed and got stronger as the game went on, ironically. And there was some very pointed comments, I don't know if you noticed, in the post-match where Brendan, before he spoke about anything else, highlighted Raheem's energy and how well he had done, and basically how, you know, how high his energy levels were, which is clearly a fuck you to old Roy. How did you feel he did in the day?
Yeah, like you said, it took him a long time to get into the game. Maybe due to a lack of space, but he was back to sort of the usual, going into cul-de-sacs and stuff. Just couldn't get into the game. Running into players, just not finding the pass. And as the game went on, then just a small bit of space is all the chap needs. And once he was afforded that, then we seen the Sterling that we all know and bleed and idolise, you know. He was back and he's taking a ball. It's something that most teams would cut their fucking right hand off for. You can give this guy the ball on the edge of your own box, and within 3 or 4 seconds you're up attacking at the other end.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's not just running into space. He can go by 2 or 3 players as well. He's, you know, when he's that like that now, he's untouchable, you know. And it was like total opposite to, like I say, at the start of the game, very, very quick. But once he got afforded a small bit of space, I thought he was absolutely magnificent.
Would you have backed Mario to score that goal from the centre that Raheem puts in if I hadn't gone in for an own goal?
Which one?
The winning goal?
Yeah.
I don't know, because as good as Sterling was, I think that the pass looked like it was behind him, actually. No, I wouldn't have backed Mario to score yesterday anyway.
Oh, no. Talk to me a little bit about him now, seeing as we have left it. It's a glaring omission. We should probably just mention that a couple of times.
A lot of what I saw worried me. I think people have keep calling him lazy, and I think that's a lazy kind of thing to throw at him, because he does run around a lot.
Yeah.
Sorry, but it is. It's a lazy thing to say about him, just say that, oh, no, he's lazy, because he's not. He does run around. It's his mindset. This, you know, the shooting from absolutely everywhere. Like, that game was a horrible scrappy game. And, like, he, you know, things like, you know, the ball bounced up to him. They had a half volley that he shanked about 50 yards over. Like, he's already had a couple of wild swipes when there's players in better positions. He knows that we're struggling to get out of the defence. We need to keep the ball and push up. Mm. Like, there's so many reasons for him not to hit that. And as well as that, the way the ball's bouncing up, there's so many reasons for him not to do that, to just keep the ball. But it doesn't compute with him.
All his choices were wretched on the day, weren't they? They just were consistently awful.
But there's no kind of, like, you'll see strikers do selfish things all the time.
Yeah.
But then they'll make up for it. They'll kind of go, oh, Jesus, that was bad. I'll better muck in here, and I'll kind of link the play a bit. I'll make sure I keep the ball. But then, like, there's no, that doesn't kind of flag up with Balotelli. It's just like, oh, it's like a game of FIFA. Next time I get the ball, I'll just shoot from 40 yards again.
Yeah.
And I just thought every time he got the ball, it just looked like he, you know, whenever we got a good bit of support up with him, and it just looked like he thought their job is to distract the other, the defender, so I can get a shot on now. Like he didn't release the ball at all.
Yeah.
And he didn't link the play at all. I just thought, it worried me, his mindset, this kind of, I'm going to shoot every time I get the ball. I just think it's a kind of a bit of a fuck you to his teammates.
It's a bit Mario-centric. Would you agree with that, Phil?
Look, I think he had a poor game in an overall sense, right? The only thing I'd say, and I've seen people say, well, we may as well put Lambert in because he's shite, like, do you know what I mean? The one thing I'd say is, despite how bad it was yesterday for him, he's still in the box getting chances. Mm. Like, the one thing that hasn't happened with Lambert is, I can't remember the last time Lambert has had a clear chance. I think the last one I can remember was Man City away when he had that chance to bring it to 3-2. Like, I can't remember Lambert being in the box or being in position. And even when we go to the two goals, the two ogs, the done one and the one that we were just talking about there, what do you score from it? He's there, if you know what I mean. Like, the ball is going across to where he's at, where he actually is for a tap-in. So, as hard and as critical as you can be on him, he's getting into the positions, he's getting into the box. He might need to be more intelligent in terms of what he does in the box to actually get the goals. And he was getting criticised for, you know, the one that he actually ran to the near post and tried to clip it back in terms of what it was. But that's a very, like, he's almost outside the frame of the front post and he's trying to pull it back over the actual goalkeeper. Now, people are saying, oh, well, he should have just clipped it back around him or whatever. But to do that is really awkward. As the ball is coming towards you, you're going to have to change it, change the flight and get the lift on it. And he tried what he thought was going to come off. It didn't come off. I think it's a bit like Mignolet, what we were talking about earlier. Because things haven't happened for him this season, right? Because, you know, he's missed chances that you would have expected him to score. Everything he does wrong now is going to be magnified and magnified even more in terms of what's going wrong, because it just doesn't look like it's happening for him. And I hope it does. I hope he gets it. But I don't think I don't think Rodgers is helping him either, because, like, looking at the way we played with the quick, fast, aggressive style again, you know, to actually end up with the goals, like, for the life of me, I cannot understand why he hasn't played Sterling alongside him.
What about that shout of no partner for him?
Well, hang on, before we go on to what we should do in the future, so I did say I would try to be positive about Balotelli, but there's a couple of things. First of all, the Lambert shout is ridiculous, because Balotelli on his worst day still occupies a defender. A defender still has to go with him and kick him, right? Which seems to be what all defenders are doing. If Lambert's playing, defenders don't even need to worry about him. Just leave him alone. He's not going to do anything. So Balotelli at least is a threat, you know, he occupies defenders, he is a nuisance. If I was Rodgers, I would give him one instruction. He is not allowed to shoot outside the 18-yard box. If he gets the ball outside the 18-yard box, he's got to pass. And if he did nothing differently yesterday, if he never ran a single yard further, anything like that, just passed it when he was outside the box, he would have brought so many more players into play, and he actually would have had a pretty good game without scoring. And this is where I think the system has to be different. It can't be around how do you get 20 goals out of Balotelli, because he's not going to score 20 goals until Sturridge. He's not going to look like scoring 20 goals until he's got a partner. And I don't think Stern is that guy, but we'll come on to that. What you've got to say to him is, Mario, don't worry about scoring. There's players around you who'll score. Bring them into the box. So every time you get the ball, he is brilliant at getting the ball at pace into his chest or into his feet, trapping it and controlling it. Even watched the game yesterday. He did that. He never lost the ball when the ball came near him. Where he loses the ball is when he tries and turns to beat three players to shoot for 40 yards. So it's his decision making that's the problem. My final thing I'd say is the press he has got today is absolutely disgraceful, the things that have been written about
him. I haven't seen it. Is it the usual lazy stuff about...
It is ridiculous. I tell you now, he was no worse yesterday than Lukaku has played for the majority of the season, that Remy played for Chelsea yesterday, that countless other strikers have had games like that this season. And the narrative that's around him, I feel sorry for
him. He's an
easy
target,
isn't he? He was not even in the top five worst players we had on the field yesterday. He wasn't. That's how bad our defence was.
Enrique was the five.
Yeah.
Because he occupied five different positions and all the positions at the wrong time.
I'm a big Mario fan, and I think he's getting a shitload of harsh criticism now. I did, like, obviously, I sent a text at the worst possible time yesterday. Judge him when he gets chances, and he got the chance. Right in front of the open goal. and scored Albert. But he's my only disappointment. All I'll slag him over yesterday was his lack of celebration when we got the winner. It just, we just conceded to equalise in injury time, and then we go and get a winner, and he puts a little clenched fist on it. My bollocks! I would have been up the length of the pitch, top off into the crowd. That's what you want, and it shows. Maybe it is.
He's had a bad day.
Yeah,
you know,
the selfish striker thing. Maybe, you know, and he wants to be the man getting them goals, you know, and maybe that's why he's shooting. He's feeling the pressure. He can see what's being written about him.
I think he's genuinely pissed off himself. Yeah. Like, I think he knows he didn't play well yesterday. And actually, if you listen to Rodgers after the game, you know, Rodgers, I don't know what you're saying, but he has been guilty in the past of like saying bad things. But like, Rodgers was spot on about Balotelli yesterday. You know what I mean?
He cut him a lot of slack yesterday.
He cut him a lot of slack. And the press were just... they were just dying for Rodgers to throw him under the bus. And fair play to Rodgers for not doing it. Look, he did not have a good game. He did not have a good game, right? But if he scores that goal, and I said it yesterday, if he scores the goal against Everton, I think we're talking about a different player. His confidence is a little low. He's got to shrug it off, and he's not going to get dropped. He's going to play every game until Sturridge comes back, and we've just got to hope the one goes in. And I think we'll see a different player there.
Can we just finish on a particularly upbeat note, which is, lads, we did get the win, and it was in the most dramatic of circumstances.
Well, I said here last week when we talked about it, I said the only thing that mattered on Sunday
was 3 points.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how we get them or what way we got them. And the one thing I will say about yesterday's result, it's a galvanising result. It's like that Stoke game last year where the penalty is saved and then the rebound is saved, and from the jaws of a draw you get a win. Now, just in the opposite way, we've showed so much heart, so much character, so much, you know, courage and moral conviction.
Moral courage.
Moral courage.
But
Welsh John Jones.
But you know,
double whammy.
After getting such a kick in the balls at 2-all, 94 minutes on the clock, there was only 4 minutes of injury time to be played, right? I was waiting for the whistle to go straight as soon as we tipped off to just show, you know, that level of resilience to say, fuck it, there's another chance in us here. Mm. You know, and to see the young kids do it. Mm. Not the old heads, but the Coutinho, Sterling. It was them who drove the whole thing. From the 86, when we concede the equaliser, it's Coutinho who says, this is fucking our day and I'm not letting this go. Mm. He drives it. It's the same with Sterling. He drives it down. 96, 95 minutes and Sterling is busting his bollocks to get from the halfway line in a diagonal line like a jetpack across that pitch to get on the end of the true ball from Coutinho, which is pinpoint accurate. You know, that makes you just go, yes. And I'll tell you what, the celebrations at the end of that game, that was hair in the back of your neck, and it's ridiculous. It's QPR, but it meant so much to us as a fan base. Mm. To not have thrown away a game that we should win. And I know it sounds ridiculous to beat QPR, but we put 3 points. It's a points accumulation.
It's more than
for Christmas.
That. It's more than that, because people have been talking, you know, all season about what we had last season has gone. You know, feels like it's gone. We haven't seen much of it. Spurs aside, we haven't seen much of it. But the one thing we had last season, and we have it, albeit not through our entire squad, but we have it in players like Coutinho, Sterling and Henderson, is we always think we'll score another goal. Mm. We always think, and we did it against West Brom when we had a setback against West Brom, it goes to 1-1. You know, and we go, we could score another goal. And we scored 2 goals after the 91st minute.
Yep.
2 goals. Mm. Because we just went, we could score another goal.
It's a good point, too, that Phil Mason, people cared. I mean, the atmosphere in that place was unbelievable.
Look, it's either going to be a false dawn, right, or it's going to feel like a massive, massive result. My thing is, it's a galvanising result. And if you're playing badly and if you're trying to work things out, Roger said this, if you're playing badly and you're trying to work things out, it's important to be winning while you're working those things out. And we're winning, and that's the reality of it.
And we could be dealing with fat Abel or Adel Tarabt with his 3-stone belly. And
listen, I'll tell you what, if there's a more... horrible creature in football, it's Harry Redknapp. Like, literally, the fella has never taken the blame for anything in his life.
There's a buzz thrown there.
Oh my God.
It's unbelievable.
Whatever about, if it is, like, if Tarabt has such a poor thing, it should be, it's his job as a manager to turn him around.
Yeah.
And if he can, you know,
how does he get
just,
to that stage? It's nonsense.
If he's lost,
talk.
If he can't do that with a player, like, then he doesn't deserve to be in the job. And you know what? Redknapp, I just fucking hate Redknapp.
It was enjoyable to watch him out.
QPR weren't unlucky. Let's be really clear here. QPR were not unlucky. They ballsed it up. right? They should have won that game. The game is there for them to win. Mm. This isn't about them being unlucky. They
that wasn't
done,
hitting the posts and, no, and not having
they weren't done by a dodgy decision. They weren't done by a dodgy penalty.
Carl Henry said they were like 11-year-olds.
It was ridiculous. I mean, for them not to come away with a point is all Redknapp. Mm. It's all Redknapp, and they should have come away with three. I mean, seriously, you know, so him throwing Trapped under the bus after he's just overseen like a fucking catastrophe, you know, from their perspective. If again, it's the other way around, we'd be slaughtering Rodgers.
It's the whole thing. Was my fault. And oh, look over there. There's a balloon.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. There's a balloon. Yeah, there's a balloon. Look. And it's the shape of adult Trapped.
Yeah, that'll do us.
Right, we should look forward to something very nice on the horizon, which is Liverpool versus Real Madrid. A massive Champions League night, as big as it gets. Euro royalty facing off at Anfield. Ray, are you excited? And if not, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, of course I'm excited. I'm excited to be watching this game from underneath my sofa on Wednesday. Look, I was here a few weeks ago talking about the romance of Anfield and special place on a European night, and it doesn't get any bigger than Madrid there. You couldn't not be excited, but at the same time, we haven't been filling ourselves with confidence, and we have a team that are scoring for the crack coming to our stadium. So, looking forward to it. It's a big occasion, but I don't know. It's the game itself. I don't know. The occasion, yes. The game, not so much.
Well, we'll break down the game and have a look at the different aspects of it. But just one more initial reaction from you, Paul, and Ray touches on something there. This is a team who've scored, I think, three times. They've scored five in the league. Once they've scored eight, and they've got five in the Champions League as well against, was it Ludogorets or Basel?
It's lucky our defence is deadly then.
Thank Christ.
What a way. Are you looking forward to this? And now Real Madrid have scored $100 trillion in the last two games.
The question
tell
is,
tell us how much you're enjoying this question. $100 trillion.
The question is it anticipation or is it slight anxiety or what is it for you?
Obviously you have to be a bit nervous of them, like the way they've started the season and the players that they've got. But like, I think I can't see us being like, you know, awful against them. I think we will have to raise it a bit. So I'm fairly confident that I'm not confident that we'll win, but I'm confident that it's not going to be the embarrassment that like a lot of people are saying that it will be. So yeah, I'm looking forward to
this. This is good.
Phil, is there something wrong with me? Because I actually think we're...
There's loads wrong with you.
I'm not even slightly worried about this. I cannot fucking wait for this. Once Moreno's playing and maybe Manquillo's playing.
You're prefacing.
Yeah. There are a few conditions, but you know, given a few tweaks, I'm really looking forward to this. Is that wrong?
No.
I mean, am I an idiot to think we can pull off a result here?
Yeah.
Well, not just for that.
What a pair of cards. Jesus. Stereo stitch up either side of me here, yeah.
It's Madrid. It's the Champions League. It's not the knockout stages, right? But for us, we need to get a result over because we balled up Basel away, right? Yeah. So, you know, we need to get a result over if we want to top say to ourselves, yeah, top the group, you know what I mean? And get an easier draw in the next round.
Yeah.
Top the group and not top ourselves.
But look, if you can't enjoy, as a fan and as a team even, enjoy the idea of Real Madrid coming to play in the Champions League, and there's just no point in finishing the top four. Mm. This is what you get into the Champions League for. These are the games that you want to be involved in. Yeah, like, I cannot think that the likes of Coutinho and Sterling, you know, and Chan even, and even Gerrard, because he's been out for so long in terms of the Champions League, is not buzzing to get out there on a Wednesday night, you know, and put it up against Real Madrid, who, let's not forget, are defending European champions. So it's not just Real Madrid coming as Real Madrid. It's Real Madrid coming as defending European
that
champions.
Fucking decima Real Madrid.
Yeah, you know, with their five European Cup wins.
You're not good at the Spanish maths.
First five don't count. They're like just friendly games.
Yeah.
But no, like, come on. Look, it's brilliant. This is what you want in the Champions League, and it's back to back. It's you've only got a couple of weeks until we go to the Bernabeu and play them again. So I'm buzzing for it.
Right, well, let's talk about some specifics then. And I did mention some of the, as you said, prefaces. Mm-hmm. What do you think, what changes do we think are likely, chaps? We'll start.
I'd play Jones in goal, and then I'd start.
Right, Dave Thomas.
Listen, if that happened, I wouldn't be that upset. I'd drop the whole back five, personally.
Fuck
after
off. Fuck off.
I'd play Enrique in goal.
It couldn't be any worse, especially if he has the clown hands on and the clown shoes on. He'd be grand.
Look, he's going to play Mignolet, he's going to play Lovren, he's going to play Skrtel. So those three are going to start. I think he's going to play Johnson.
Yes.
Oh my God. And then he's going to play Moreno.
Yeah.
So that's the back five. You know, if Steven Gerrard starts any game from now on, he starts in the deep midfielder role. I think that little experiment should only happen for the last 30 minutes of a game. So then you've got Gerrard in midfield.
Is Coutinho won a place back, do you think?
Yeah, but in the front three, not the middle three. I think he'll play Alan or Henderson or Jean and Henderson. Probably Alan and Henderson. And then Coutinho, Sterling, Balotelli.
Mm. And that's enough, do you think?
No, it's not enough.
Would you not be excited that could actually do the job?
Look, this, I think this is a really tough game to predict, right? Because there's lots of it which terrify me.
Not if you're a bookie.
No, but so here's my first point would be, is Real Madrid at home considerably harder than Man City away? It isn't, right? It's, you know, it's harder, but it's not considerably harder. Mm. And, you know, we put it up to Man City for about 4 or 5 minutes in that game. So, you know, if we can extrapolate that out. Look, it could go, they could just come and play to the, if they play to the best of their potential, we'll lose, right? Because them at their best is better than us at our best.
Yeah.
But there's no guarantee they're going to be at their best. They have had a few actually dodgy performances this year. They're not as solid defensively, neither are we. So if they come and attack us, maybe the pace of Sterling, Coutinho, Henderson can get at them. And then it's anybody's game. I think we will raise our game. I think Gerrard's going to be up for it. I think we tend defensively to perform better in the bigger games. You know, not necessarily this season, but if you look over Rodgers' time, you know, in the bigger games, we tend to be a little bit more solid. You know, it's Anfield, it's Wednesday night, it's under the lights, it's Real Madrid at home. Anything could happen. You know, anything could happen.
Will he go with the blitz rig type of all-out attack from the first few minutes that served us so well in European games before?
He'd love to see that.
Yeah, but that's what I want to see. Why not? But go balls out, just go at the bastard, straight in the arse.
That's the worst that could happen.
Exactly.
We lose, there we go.
Which everyone, 99%, is expecting us to do anyway, so why not? Yeah. Just go at them, and maybe they're expecting the low on confidence Liverpool team, maybe the crowd, maybe they might be up for it. Just give the team that little push and just say, fuck this, lads, let's go for it.
Have you read the Arbeloa interview? Anyone read the Arbeloa interview today, where he spoke about coming back and all the rest?
I had work to do.
Had you? Yeah. Fuck's sake, that's a stupid setup you've got.
Sorry, man. I'm trying to do it.
Work it out, will you?
I'll try sort it out tomorrow.
Sort it out, for fuck's sake. But interestingly, Arbeloa, although he was very, very respectful, he did mention the way he spoke about Anfield, it was almost quaint by comparison with, you know, their wonderful facilities and stuff like that. And Real talked about the one peg that you have for all your stuff and stuff like that. And it was quite interesting. But look, this is our patch. This is Anfield.
This is Anfield.
And surely we can look forward. I'm not getting this from you, lads. I'm looking for something and you're not giving it to me. Huh? Surely we can look forward to this game thinking that we will win.
Do you want belief that we will win?
I want to win.
Do you?
And I believe we'll win.
Well, we all
You're
want
on the wrong
win.
Podcast.
The
big
guys are next door.
We all want to win, Trev. Everyone wants to win.
No, I actually believe we will.
But look, I think there's a logical argument that says we can win this game.
Okay, the way we win this game.
Yes.
Okay. Is that we have to lift our game, which we invariably do in the bigger matches.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That means that the concentration issues that our back four have, every single one of them, has to be eradicated. Right? And that's not impossible. Just not probable, just not impossible, right? Mm. Now, after that, we have to exploit their weaknesses. They're going to play very narrow. They're not playing with wingers. They're playing with James and they were playing with Isco, more or less as tucked in wingers, in the sort of 4-2-2 formation that we experimented with last year, okay? So, they're going to play two centre forwards up in Ronaldo and Chicharito, whoever it is, up to try occupy our defence.
Chicharito,
yeah, Hernandez started the weekend.
No, but that's
yeah.
what it is. But they're going to play narrow, so we have to exploit that width. Now, when Dave comes around to Johnson, if you want to argue that Johnson's in, you're arguing on the fact that they're going to leave the flanks open and it's going to allow him to bomb down the flanks, right? And the same for Moreno, he's going to have all the space in the world to bomb down the flanks, right? So for me, anyway, that's where we get to them. We get down the flanks. We don't do the aimless crossing in. Like, we look then to do the pullbacks, etc., and create chances. Because, you know, Casillas has been terrible this season for them, right? And the one thing we have to do is when a shot goes off and is on target, we need to make sure that somebody
follows up.
Somebody is following up because he's spilling stuff all over the shop, right? And that's where we exploit. We exploit them at the back. We know there's talk that Ramos is out. If Ramos is out, Varane is in. And Varane, look, is an absolute Rolls Royce of a centre-back that they have there, right? But Pepe's there. You can get into Pepe's head. You know what I mean? They'd probably be told.
You don't want to be in there.
Well, you can imagine Mario getting into his head. Now, that would just be an absolute insane fucking.
What a place to be.
Best Mario nightclub in ever. Right? Yeah, yeah. But, you know, you send them out and you get Sterling at him, trying to draw him into fouls and everything, you know, the thing. And then, you know, you get the odd sniggly thing going down the back of his leg with your studs and everything like that. You know, you get into him and you get into him. Get it niggly at him.
Phil. Is yeah. that just saying
yeah. cheap? Absolutely, cheap. Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely cheap, because that's what you do to get in. And he will go wild at some stage. He will lash out, and you know that's where you win. You get him sent off, they get down to 10 men, and you exploit their weaknesses. You must exploit their weaknesses. They aren't as strong in the centre midfield as they were last year when they had Alonso there.
What about pinning Marcelo and is it Carvajal back? What about them? What about the idea of pinning their fullbacks?
Well, they're going to look to come on against us. If they're playing narrow, they're going to look to come on. And that's where we exploit the space. That's where you have Sterling. That's where you use Coutinho to exploit. Get in. When they come on to us, we then look to overload. If one of them comes on, then you look to overload behind them. You tell Sterling, whichever of those fullbacks is coming forward, you take your position off that, and then you look to get one of our fullbacks into that space as well, and you overload them with as much pace as we possibly can.
I think our pressing game from last season should really come to the fore. They won't be used if we can replicate it, should I say.
Yeah.
Just to get it
just
in their
to see
faces.
It once
don't
be
give
nice,
them 2 minutes. Don't give them 2 seconds on the ball, should I say. Yeah. Just in their fucking face.
What about that idea of how central the atmosphere is going to be to the lads to feel this motivation and the whole Anfield mythology? Our crowd has been very, very jumpy, hasn't it, Paul, this year? And sometimes the silence is deafening at Anfield. There's probably feck all chance of that. But at the same time,
I think
you hope so.
No. Listen, it's Real Madrid. It reminds me so much of the first season when we played Manchester City at home in the first home game under Brendan Rodgers. Right? This is the Lugarets. Fine, it's Lugarets. I don't care what anyone says. You know that was always likely to be. Yes, after the initial buzz, you never walk along the Champions League and Anthem going the whole lot. This is different. This is Real Madrid, the European champions, playing in Anfield.
Well, fucking better be.
And this is going to be buzzing from a height, right? That's why you're saying, can we win? Yes, we can. And I think the crowd.
I'm saying we will win.
I think the crowd is going to be well up for this. And I think the most important thing is, even if something stupid happens, which could with our team, I think the crowd will stay with them through the game because they know that they're going to have a big impact in terms of what goes on.
It's also the first game we've played in a long time where we're underdogs. I mean, you know, even last season we were playing so well. You know, our two toughest games in the second half of the season were City at home and Chelsea at home, and we were favourites to win both of those, or at least evens, you know, on both of those games. It's been a long time since we went into a game. Probably Chelsea away last season was the last time we went into a game as not favourites. And I think that plays to our strength. I think it frees us up a little bit. I think we'll press more. The crowd will be there. So a win is not out of the, you know, it's not out of the realms of possibility. It's a very tough game, and we have to be considerably better than we were.
Well, our defence will be better. You've got Chan, who's got more legs in him now. You've got Alan back. You know, we will be better.
But
do you see someone, maybe, do you see the tactics altered specifically to help Mario out with a partner?
No. I don't think he will. And I don't think, as I said earlier, I don't think he necessarily needs to. Mario just needs to recognise that his primary job is to bring others into play, not to be the person on the end of the chances. And I think if he makes that, it's not a small adjustment, but if he makes that adjustment to his game, brings other players in, we know we've got players around him who can score. And actually, he might score from the third phase of play rather than trying to score from the initial phase of play when he gets the ball. I don't think he's going to play Sterling up front. I hope he doesn't play Lambert or Barini up front because I think they're both terrible. I can see the argument for Sterling, but then Sterling's going to cause damage anywhere as long as he's centrally. And I would play him personally where he can do the most damage, which is behind the striker, not in front of the striker. My only hope is that Rodgers doesn't go out there and try to contain them. Because I think if he does that, we can't do that. So we may as well embrace the madness. And as mad as this sounds, try and outscore Real Madrid. That's the only thing we can do.
I would buy that last year when I think we could.
Yeah.
But I'm not so sure we can do it this year. The only thing I'll say, going back to your point, if you start Coutinho and Sterling in this game, for me, I would almost set them up and say, right, here's the roles you lads play. You're not set in set positions, right? What I want is, I want Sterling, as I say, exploiting the space. Whatever fullback goes, that's your position on the pitch. You go in and drop into the hole that's there. And he's held Coutinho almost. What I want you then is hovering about 20, 25 yards on the opposite side to him. The idea being that those true balls that we've seen on Sunday, you know, he's in the right position to service that true ball then. Because if you can get the ball there, you've got Sterling now on a run. So they're all going to be coming back to try cover the space where Sterling is, and he goes on a diagonal and the space will open up in front of you. And what Mario is good at doing, and what he did against QPR, he didn't get enough credit for, he started pulling out wide in that last few minutes, and what it was doing was creating that space for the lads to flood through. Yeah. And that's will be how we can score against Real Madrid. Can we beat them? Yes, we can. Like Bob the Builder.
Fucking love it. Right, well, we're coming naturally to a point then where we should see how we think it's going to go. So Paul, how would you see it? Give me a prediction.
2-2.
2-2.
Yeah.
Ray.
Yeah, I'd probably echo that. Yeah, 2-2 against. There's definitely going to be goals.
There's goals in
the defences. Yeah, yeah.
So okay.
2-2. No. I'm hoping for a 3-0, but 2-2 seems more realistic.
2-2 is your shout. What do you think, Dave?
Oh, you got me nicely pumped here now, Trev. So I'm going to say we'll win 3-2.
3-2, yeah, which is precisely the score I would go for, Phil.
I'm going to go for the rarest of things, a Martin Skirtle clean sheet, and we win 2-0.
You're a fucking spacer.
I love that, yeah.
And Glenn Johnson starts. I don't know what's going on, Ted.
Neither does Glenn.
That's my feet!
Okay, with another game coming up, which is Hull, we need to make reference to that too, but it's very, very difficult for us to talk about who's going to even be in the lineup, given the potential for change with injuries and people being tired and rotation and all the rest of it. But let's just do a little bit of lip service anyway. What do we make of this side that we're playing, Hull, Steve Bruce's Hull team? What do we think of them? What are the strengths and weaknesses, and how should we set up against them? Dave Thomas, have you any thoughts on Hull particularly?
Yeah, I mean, they're a bit of a curate's egg, really. I think their results haven't really reflected their performances. Whenever I've watched them, they've looked pretty good.
They scored lots of goals, Dave.
Yeah, and they've got a bit of power up front. You know, they've got this Hernandez guy who's scored against Arsenal. They've got Aluko, you know, and I mean, I'm a little bit worried after seeing what, you know, I was almost dismissive of Jelovic, and then I watched Bobby Zamora take out defenders in the cleaners on Sunday. Mm. So I'm a little bit worried, but they've got a little bit about them. They're confidence is a little low. I think they've only won twice since the middle of August, so they've got a lot of draws. Mm. So, you know, they're a little bit suspect at the back, but they're not short of a goal or two. I think it's going to be important that we start well, and I think it's going to be important that we score early to calm them down. My other worry is I don't think people right now are not frightened about playing Liverpool. They're not frightened about coming to Anfield, and we've got to turn that around a little bit. And, you know, I think we need to start with Hull.
And Steve Bruce and his big fat head has never been scared of coming to
Liverpool. Steve Bruce loves a win at Anfield. He loves a win against Liverpool, and he's a good manager. And he is a little bit like Redknapp had QPR up for it. He's going to have Hull up for it. And they were against Arsenal, and they will be against us.
Yeah. Ray, they beat QPR, I think, in their opening match, and then they had a draw 1-1 with Stoke. They got beat by Aston Villa. And loads of 2-2 draws with Arsenal, with West Ham, with Newcastle as well, and a defeat by Man City there, where they managed to score 2 goals as well. So when you've got a setup like that, you've got a team that can score goals, clearly, even in defeat, it leaves you thinking again about our defence, and it leaves you hoping that against Real that we get something going here which we can bring into that match, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that's exactly, we're looking for momentum. I remember being here a while back when we were sort of praying for the international break and saying regroup and reorganise. There's also that didn't happen.
That
now
didn't
you're
work.
Hoping now we'll see what will happen now with Madrid, like you say. It's this could be huge for us, the Madrid game, if we were to get a win, and more importantly a good performance, a good offensive performance, and maybe just send out, there was the fear factor that was there last year. Other teams were beaten nearly before they stepped on the pitch. They were shitting. They were going to concede two or three goals.
Yeah.
I am fearful, though, over Bruce. He's just, about beating us, but he knows how to stop us fucking winning, the Malahead bastard. So, a tough game, but it's dependent on Wednesday, see what way we're going into it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Paul, they have a few players that, you know, like the likes of Diame and lads like that, who are good, solid citizens, that would sort of worry you a little bit in terms of getting about our midfield if we're not on it and we're not at that.
Him, like himself and Livermore, like there's plenty of kind of power and legs there, which is historically what we've kind of struggled against under Rodgers. And like Real Madrid, like that game, obviously they've got superstars now, but we'll set up to try and combat that a bit at least. Whereas Hull, like we'll go out to beat them, and Abel Hernandez against Skirtland Lovren terrifies me because he's big. He's like the goal. It's
me against Skirtland Lovren. I'm shit.
But you've got a bit about you, right? You've got a bit about you.
Like the goal he scored against Arsenal, like, that just looked exactly like the type of goal he'd score against us. You know, catches one of the defenders flat-footed. Like he's big. He's mobile, and he'll catch one of the defenders flat-footed and score a header or something. He's like. I'm not looking forward to him playing against them at all.
It's amazing that we're actually more fearful of Hull than Real Madrid. Because our defence is fucking nuts.
Hull, who last lined up, Harper, Chester, Dawson, Davies, El Mohamedy, Diame, Huddleston, like... Livermore, Robertson, Hernandez and Jelovic. And we're shitting it.
And Harper got injured. So that's down to their third keeper.
Harper got injured, so Harper was the replacement. Yeah,
so they'd ended our third keeper.
Who will have a worldie.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, no doubt.
As they always do.
Yeah, so...
Look, right, so much of this game is going to depend on what happens on Wednesday night, right? And it's the whole turnaround from the Champions League games and then playing the league match afterwards. And we have to learn how to win the games directly after. Right? And it comes back to the QPR situation again. Doesn't matter how we win on at the weekend, just once we win. You know what I mean? Again, it's just getting those 3 points on the board and keeping the run going. Take three from this, take three from Newcastle, and you know we've turned around nicely when we get to the ten match stage, because we're on 19 points then at that stage, and that's almost your 2 points a game that we're always talking about here.
You hear this debate, don't you, Phil, about which one would you rather have? Blah blah. I want them both.
I know you want them both, but to be honest with you,
performance and results,
two wins.
The Champions League will take care of itself because of who it is that we're playing against on Wednesday night. I don't think you have to worry about that, right? What we need then, we need so much focus and so much, you know, mental strength going into the actual Hull game to realise that there's no point us getting a great result against Real Madrid on Wednesday if we don't go out and beat Hull at the weekend, because we want to be back in the Champions League next year. We want to be, you know, we want to be there, and we also want to be competing at the end of the season for the league title. And however far away that seems at this moment in time, putting points on the board against Hull in October after a big match against Real Madrid are the points that you rely on when you come to the end of the season and your final position where you're going to be. We're in fifth, we're joint fourth, do you know what I mean? And depending on whatever happens with the United game tonight, but like, that's and it's only goal difference that separates us. We've scored the same amount of goals as we scored at this time last season. All that is, we're conceding more goals than we were at this point last season. So what we have to do now is realise that while we haven't got Sturridge, we can score goals. And while we haven't got Sturridge, we have to win the matches. As much as we have to dig deep, win the games, put the points on the board, it doesn't matter. That whole team will come out. Bruce is always fired up for the games against us. I hate Bruce, right? Like, I respect what he's doing to hold up, but he's fucking United through and through. And, you know, like, he bends over when he plays United and they inevitably lose 127-0 or something like that, right? So, you know, he's going to come out, fire them all up. He used to do it when he was at Wigan, did the same when he was at Birmingham, the whole lot. He'd be happy to take a draw against us. And that's the way he sets up. Like, when he comes to us, he won't necessarily be thinking about winning, but he knows he's going to get chances. And he's going to tell them, listen, lads, all we're going to do, we play for freeze around the edge of the box, we float it into the box, and we look, those two fellas are bleeding spoons at centre halves. They won't know what to do, right? All they do, your man Lovren will miss every header, and he'll try come in front of you. He'll say to Hernandez, do you know what to do? Just stand there, let him come around the front. If he misjudges the header, the ball's going to drop. You can try
when
and get
he
it.
When he misjudges. Yeah.
that's exactly what he's going to do. Yeah. So now it's up to the Arrow lads to stand up and say, we're not klutzes. We aren't a fucking circus show.
Precisely,
at the back.
That has
this
to
is
start.
Time to stand up. And this is, you know, take the galvanising effect from the QPR game, take it into the whole
You're
game.
You're loving the galvanising.
Galvanise, yeah.
Past the factory earlier on.
It's good.
and take it in and fucking put the 3 points on the board. That's all I want. 3 points. Not a 3 points.
Are you galvanised, Dave Thomas? And if so, what result would you predict for this match?
Listen, I'm permanently galvanised.
Good know, lad.
My view on this is that we are more likely to get better than we are to get worse because we have better players than they're showing right now. So if you take that to its logical conclusion, we'll get better, we'll win more games, we'll put in better performances. I'm a little bit like Phil right now. If the performances aren't coming, which they don't look like they are, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be worked out, just get the wins. I don't care if it's, you know, Balotelli handballing it into the net and, I don't care.
Well, that's actually genuinely the idea, frankly.
I think that it's going to be a very difficult game, but we've got to get back to giving them something. So we talked all about this whole preview, right? It's all been about how they can exploit our weaknesses. We've got to turn that on its head and start giving teams things to worry about. And that has to come from the manager and the players starting to believe, which hopefully they're starting to believe, that actually we can score goals. We've got an offensive formation. Even with Balotelli, even in a system that people think isn't quite working, we're scoring goals. So we scored 5 goals in the last 2 games. We've got to keep going. We've got to realise that that is our best weapon. Our best weapon is to try and blow them off the park by scoring more goals. So what I want to see is that floating crosses into the box at Lovren is irrelevant because we've already run them off the park with pace and power that we've got up front. In terms of a prediction, I fancy us to put on a show. I think we'll win 3-0.
Nice. Nice. Ray, do you see something that comfortable or how do you see that
No, I'll take a 1-0, 2-1. Bruce will have his team extremely hard to beat and so I wouldn't see it going.
So you think they'll pull by the odd goal?
Yeah, by the odd goal.
That'll be tight.
Yeah.
Paul?
4-3. Abel Hernandez is definitely going to score a hat trick, so we need to get staring.
We need to score 4.
Yeah,
I think it'll be tight, but I think we'll win by maybe 2-1. I would guess. Phil,
4-0 to Hull.
There it is.
Why it took you so long, I don't know. But
I was thinking about giving a real score, and then I'm scared I'll jinx it.
Yeah, I know.
2-1.
No, don't say that.
You could just see it collapsing.
I am Lou Schware. You are listening to Trippers Chat
with Trev.
Okay, we'll start Trippers Chats with a question from Carlos P, which came from Twitter. And Carlos is just echoing what an awful lot of other people have been asking us to talk about for a couple of weeks in a row, and we just haven't gotten around to it. And that is basically all the moaning and groaning about the strikers that we have. What would you have gone for if you had an ideal world? And basically, why didn't we go for someone like, he suggests, Tevez as a replacement for Suarez, given what he refers to as Ngagatelli's troubles. So, Phil, why didn't we go for Carlos Tevez?
I think Tevez is a fair shout, but the problem with Tevez was when he was in Manchester was that he didn't want to live in England.
That's the problem, right there.
Genuinely, but I think Tevez, if you throw enough money at him, he would have come over and played for us. But, he would have been an ideal replacement. He runs all day. He barrels through defenders, and he would have been very similar in style. Maybe doesn't have the quality, obviously, but has necessary quality and scores goals. Would have been a fair shout in terms of what it is. I think, if we don't sign Balotelli and say we don't sign Markovic and just look to have somebody else to play when Sturridge inevitably gets crocked for 25-30% of the games, I would have looked to bring in somebody that can play alongside him as well in the idea of playing with Balotelli. And I think realistic options for us, if you put 40-45 million euro on the table for the likes of Cavani or Higuain, I think they become realistic possibilities. I definitely think Higuain would have been a decent signing. Because he can play as a two, he plays as a lone striker as well. He plays off the shoulder. He plays very much in the way that we want to play when Sturridge is playing as a striker. But he's also played alongside Benzema. He's also played alongside Messi when he's playing for Argentina. He knows how to play in a two. He can play in a one. I think he would have been a really good option for us to go for. And I know there was talk of us that potentially we might have looked to do something with him to bring Lucas in. But it comes back to again what we identified as being our primary target after Suarez gone. And for me, it looked like that Sanchez was potentially it. Then Remy was the backup of that. And then after that, they sort of were scrapping around. They weren't quite sure who it was. And there was maybe Origi was maybe thought they could have got him in earlier, but the only way they were getting him is if they left him stay out on loan. But I think realistic targets, again, Cavani, big powerhouse of a centre forward. If you want to look at a fella who can run through players, he's very much in that side, and he's a real goal scorer. I know people disagree and say they're not realistic targets, but 40-45 million euro on the table to the likes of PSG where Cavani's unhappy, or to Napoli, and they would have
given those Champions League football.
Yeah, and the same, like, you could make the argument. You try to get in. Maybe you try to get your man Aubameyang from Borussia Dortmund as well. You know,
you said his name.
I'm a huge fan of him. Very similar, but like, he can play wide in a front three. He can play off. He can play as a ten. You know, that style of top bracket footballer. You put 30 million down in front of Dortmund, and I said he would have sold at that price.
But Dave, are you any more close to home sheds?
Well, is this kid at West Brom?
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, I actually, we've debated transfers a lot on the pod, and I disagree with Phil on, I wouldn't have bought anyone. In terms of, not anyone, but I wouldn't have bought.
I would have kept the money. Been on a mad holiday. Yeah.
So, hindsight, right, says that you maybe don't sign Lambert, sign Balotelli as your plan B, and then I would have bought another wide player. I would have bought Draxler or something like that. I always felt that Rodgers' preferred formation has Sturridge, you know, put anything says Sturridge up front on his own, and two players playing as rotating forwards with him, and then a rotating midfield. I think he likes a lot of movement. I think the idea of two up front is not something he's comfortable with. I think that also inherent in the question, there's like, who would we sign? And then who is it ever realistic that the club were ever likely to look at? And, you know, we don't have a history of going and buying at the top end of the market, established senior players over 26. We don't buy that. Rodgers doesn't buy that type of player. So then, when you start throwing all that in, you know, I like the kid from Dortmund. I think when we talked on the pod, he was a realistic one. I like Luis Muriel from Udinese. I think he was interesting. I think that type of up-and-coming striker. But I would have gone, if I was putting 45 million down on a table, I would have gone for like Pogba or a midfielder. I would have just gone. If you can't get that world-class forward, which I think we were struggling to get, go and get a world-class player elsewhere. But look, I'm not revising what I said. I think our summer business was really good, and I stand by it. I stand by that the summer business was really good. I think, you know, some players are settled quicker than others. Time is going to tell. Balotelli is definitely the wild card, but I think we're going to need to see how he does with Sturridge. I think there were glimpses against Spurs that could work. So, I mean, I think the point in the question is, we often say on the pod that, you know, we shouldn't have signed this player or shouldn't have signed that player. And I think he's saying, well, all right, geniuses, who would you sign? I am acknowledging that that's a really difficult question. There isn't an easy answer. There wasn't an obvious person. I think what's interesting about Sanchez as well is the Sanchez hasn't played up front. You know, he's gone to Arsenal and he's played as a number 10 or as a wide forward.
Which everyone plays as a number 10 or
yeah, no, I know that. I know. But I mean, I just think that's interesting that, you know, would he have played up front for us if Sturridge had got injured? Could he have done that? Because he struggled when he tried to do it for the two games he did it for Arsenal. So I would have gone for a wide forward rather than a striker. But I think there's more to come from Balotelli. I wouldn't be too disheartened yet.
Ray, given that our heads are completely wrecked by all these options and permutations and the team hasn't settled yet, Carlos is always also wondering, should Steve Peters, the current version, go and visit himself from last year for some counselling so that basically we can get our heads right? Because there does seem to be some sort of general kind of uneasiness, doesn't there?
Yeah, you'd wonder. I don't know whether it's... I think in general it's just stemming from results. I think we're probably, as fans and the team themselves, were probably just expecting us to kick on a little bit from last year. We're hoping. I know the big man left and, you know, we knew we were going to struggle maybe that end of the pitch, but we weren't expecting such a dip that we've seen, and it's affecting the players. I know about getting in their head. Results will change that, definitely. It's a confidence game. We string a few results together and I'm pretty sure we'll be okay.
Well, Steve Peters, I know Steve Peters, basically. Yeah, fair enough.
I think it's interesting that Steve Peters was talked about so much last year, and there's no real talk about him this year.
Why is that, though?
Suarez has gone.
He's getting about 20 million to take a holiday after dealing with Suarez.
You know what's happened, don't you? Enrique has fucking broken him. That's what it is. Enrique has
him locked
Steve
in a room
Peters.
Or left him in the safari when he was taking the monkey out for a spin in the morning.
Definitely.
You know that bit in The Sopranos where Melfi has to go on the lam after That's what Peters has got after. He did a session where he's in a motel going, don't give that mad bastard my number.
Ever, ever.
He's got the blinds pulled. He's got fucking...
Enrique's just sending him naked selfies. Come back, Steve. Come back.
Miss you.
It's all okay.
Do you want to play FIFA?
Look, I think Peter's influence was always overstated last season, and it's probably been understated this season. Now, the players that he's had the biggest impact on are the likes of Gerrard, the likes of
Steve,
Henderson,
yeah,
who still say that he's been a significant part of their progress.
And then tragically, Stevie had the most traumatic period of his career ever, yeah, at the end of the season.
But also
playing for Roy Hodgson in the World Cup.
At the end of our season two, yeah, yeah.
But also Rodgers himself. And I think that's where the Peters thing gets underplayed, is that actually he's there to support the manager. And I think, to be fair to Rodgers, you know, he is able to deal on the whole with, you know, the pressure, the job. But if that's helping him do it, then look, I'm all for it.
Slight change of tack, Paul. After yesterday's OG Fest, Sam Maguire is wondering, what's the best or worst or whatever you want to look at own goal that you've ever seen?
There was that one they used to dig up on Match of the Day. Remember any time there was a goal, an own goal scored, they dug up for, I think it was from the lower leagues. And I mean, like, a cross comes in and this fella leathers it in the top corner.
Virginie style, as good as that?
Yeah, because it was close to the goal, but it was way more powerful. Like,
right.
Because the ball kind of gets crossed in. I think there's a little bit of pinball and it drops in front of your man. And, like, the violence of the swing, it just goes straight up into the top corner. Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. I think they used to, like... I think it was Match of the Day, used to get either be known guys like, well, it doesn't beat this, so, and they like dig it up again. Yeah. It was brilliant.
Dewey scored a bullet of an own goal as well, didn't he? Ian Dewey, didn't he?
A header.
A bullet of an own goal one time, yeah, buried it right, yeah, in the top corner. Like,
I seem to recall Lisa's that.
Lisa's own goal against Chelsea. Oh, I've never wanted to kill a player so much in my life. Honest to God. I mean, I knew you meant to usually feel sorry for players when they score an own goal, because they, you know, they usually don't mean it.
Colo's last year was my moment of that, like that. The lovely, curly one, yeah.
His reaction afterwards when he's looking at the ground is what happened? Yeah. And he does this thing where he looks at God going, what are you doing to me?
You said there was no need to be upset. Yeah.
Best goal I've ever seen was scored against me.
Oh, go on then.
I swear to God, it was a guy, Macker, he'd been over with Colchester and he came back. And we're playing into a breeze. Now, this was like a fucking hurricane breeze, right? And I moved up and probably on the edge of the 18-yard line. He was about 30 yards out, right? And he went to play a cross field at Agno. And I swear to God, it took off, right? Left back, going across, aiming to go across diagonal into their half, right? Hit it up, got caught in the breeze. Came back around, right, and started heading back towards the goal. I just looked at him and went, oh no. And just watched the sail, and it went in the top corner. I just torn. Well, no giving out. I just had a break in my heart laughing. Even our manager was just like, oh, for fuck's sake, can we just call this off now at this stage? It was not going to happen today.
Remember Frank Sinclair that played for Chelsea?
Oh, he used to score.
Yeah, and it was way more variety. Like, Richard Dunn does the same kind of stumble and fall into the goal every goal. This fella had headers. He had one where he had one for Leicester as well, where he's near the halfway line and he turned around. I think Ian Walker was in the opening at this stage, and he tried to pass it back to him, but he did this big ridiculous curl pass straight around. It was a beautiful finish. Like, maybe that was, and do you remember Lee Dixon in the early
90s?
Lee
Dixon when he chipped Seaman.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a goal that is.
What about the one that was doing the rounds? It was a keeper, I think it was in Arabia, Saudi Arabia or somewhere, where he basically, he's on the 6 yard box and he throws the ball spectacularly, aggressively into his own net, because he gets the spin wrong and he just ends up fucking it directly into his own net. It's beautiful.
Thankfully, I've never done that.
What's funny about the Richard Dunn on goal on Sunday is, if you watch like him after the goal, he turns to the defender next to him and tugs his ear as if to say, you know, give me a shout there. It's like, you kicked the ball in your own net. What am I going to say? Don't.
I still don't know. I know he was turned off and everything in terms of what was going on, right? But I still have no idea what he was trying to do. Like,
what the fuck? Like,
even the leg motion is just a straight motion towards. Actually, best dog.
Go on.
The goalkeeper off Gibraltar. against Ireland.
Oh, that was a gem.
That was outrageous. That was like somebody took hold of him as a PlayStation 3 controller in the fucking crowd and just went whack.
Just yeah.
His defender's just looking at me.
Oh, the poor bastard.
He got taken off after.
Yeah, straight off.
On Sunday, Colger's face was brilliant. You know, as soon as he touched the ball, he said, No. Take that, you bastard. It was brilliant. Everyone feeling sorry for him. He's a brilliant.
Drink those tears up.
He's a Swansea player who went to captain Cardiff, so he can go fuck himself.
Prick. I don't understand that.
Oh, Welsh aggression. Right, Pierce Sloan wonders, if Liverpool are ice creams, what player would be what ice cream? He says he reckons Coutinho's a tangle twister. And he shouts here.
Oh, you have me list. Do you want to hear me list?
Only
if you sing. This might be Irish audiences only, though, because I've gone down the HB route, and that wasn't it. Walls in the UK or something. Okay, at number one.
And if HB want to sing
Patrick
for the
Iceberger.
This is embarrassing.
Maxi Twist Rodriguez.
Oh, wonderful.
Wait for the last one. Jose Loop de Loop Enrique, we having that? Lunatic
Loop de Loop. Yeah, I'll have that.
That was my only one.
Simon Concede Corner ends up in the Netto. Corner Netto.
Oh, Jesus, Ray.
And you actually prepared this. You sat down and read that by yourself.
Gold, that's right there.
Yeah. Day tripper homework. Day tripper homework right there.
You needed to use ink for that.
We ran out of crayons.
We'll finish up with two. First one's from Paul. Paul says, if you could have something named after you as a memorial, what would you choose? Like a school or a park or a building?
Anfield.
the Dave Thomas Anfield.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Yeah. Any other shouts in this?
The DT Arena.
The DT Arena.
That was because your man
Detox
Wigan named himself after
the DW
Stadium. DW.
Because Dave Whelan doesn't love himself enough.
No.
He broke his leg. Really? Really?
What's the story with that?
Was it in a cup final?
The FA Cup final.
What the way?
Last one's from Philip Murray, and Philip wonders, who do you think would be the best lover at Liverpool? Quizzical looks.
Oh God, it has to be Emre Can, doesn't it?
I don't know. I think that's a bit an easy shout there, right? But it's a lazy shout. It's lazy shout by you, right?
Ridiculously good-looking cunt.
So it's a lazy shout, right?
Yeah.
Best lover at Liverpool. Yeah. Depends on what you're into.
It's going to have to be someone like you've had the Hendo show before.
Yeah, but the Hendo show we could go all night. If you're into longevity, then it's Hendo all night. Yeah. He's like the Duracell rabbit on top of you.
I'd have gone for Derek Coyte before he left.
Similar reasons?
No, just because he's ugly. He'd probably have to be, a considerate lover, you know?
I was waiting for that show. Yeah.
Skirtle, you'd be scared of Skirtle. And it wouldn't be anything like you're expecting at all. Be all gentle and huggy and lovely and like.
The way you're talking about this is like you've considered Skirtle and you,
huh?
In the situation you have, haven't you? Well, we finish with some admin. Irish listeners who like their football should come and play it here at Astro Park. You can book your pitch time and your games at astropark.ie. On our website, that's lfcdaytrippers.com. We have some fantastic articles as per usual. Really, really good writers on there. Get on and have a look. Our day trip on November the 1st, we'll be joining in with a lot of Liverpool fans from all over the country who are heading to Waterford for an overnighter in the Dooley Hotel. We're going to be there and we'll be doing a bit of recording. We're looking forward to that. So if you want to get involved, get in touch with YNWA Irish Reds. We'd like to thank those same lads for hosting us in the Stone Boat on Sunday. Fantastic occasion, and we're looking forward to a return visit. More details on that soon. Your day trippers tonight were Dave Thomas, Ray Brady, Paul Brennan, Phil Casey, and myself, Trev Downey.
That's him there.
Lads. Yeah. So Mankeo, is he like fit? Like, was he just, is he fit?
He was dropped.
But hopefully that's because they haven't won Real Madrid. Right, guys? Really?
Is there Joseph playing it?
Fuck off.
How did Emre Can do? Let's move along with that one. All right.